Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Things Podcast, where every week it seems is more insane than the week before. We only cover things we've never seen before as a way of wrapping up the week. It tells you the times we live in that I can do this every week. Let's start with insane thing number 7, Trump's speech at the UN, but specifically his admission of something that's never been spoken aloud before on a world stage from a place where the mainstream media couldn't censor it. This was truly bombshell stuff. Trump said a lot of bombshell things in that UN speech. I could do 5 podcasts on them. But the biggest was his admission that the voter drive, the replacement voter drive, that the Democrats have been running at our southern border isn't just a Democrat thing or a left-wing thing, but a worldwide plan to create a one-party system like China. So there's nowhere to flee by moving the billions of voters in third world countries who routinely vote into power authoritarian regimes into Western countries where they can replace and ultimately cancel out the votes of Americans and people in the West so that we can have total worldwide domination by authoritarian left-wing forces. His acknowledgement of the UN's role in that was jaw-dropping.
In 2024, the UN budgeted $372 million in cash assistance to support an estimated 624,000 migrants journeying into the United States. Think of that. The UN is supporting people that are illegally coming into the United States, and then we have to get them out. The UN also provided food, shelter, transportation, and debit cards to illegal aliens. Can you believe that? On the way to infiltrate our southern border. Millions of people came through that southern border. Just a year ago, millions and millions of people were pouring in, 25 million altogether over the 4 years of the incompetent Biden administration. But what took place is totally unacceptable. The UN is supposed to stop invasions, not create them, and not finance them.
That the UN did this in a deliberate and systematic way is not a conspiracy theory. In fact, the UN itself laid out the plan in 2000 in a report called Replacement Migration. I'll attach it at the end of the podcast. Written by the United Nations Secretariat, where they detailed their plans to move billions of third worlders into Western countries and change them forever. Ostensibly because, you know, populations are declining and all. Most of the rest of the insane things that happened this week are directly related to that voter drive, the violence that we're beginning to see from the left. Why are we seeing this violence? It's story after story after story, but they're all the same. It's all about stopping Donald Trump from deporting their greatest hope. And if they seem to be more violent, more frothing at the mouth than before, it's because he's succeeding. We had the bombshell news in the beginning of the week that so far, 2 million replacement voters have been deported or self-deported by Donald Trump, 400,000 of them physically removed, and another 1.6 million deported themselves, all in the first 250 days of the Trump administration. And understand, folks, this is before, right now, we only have 1,500 deportation teams working around the country. 1,500. That's it. We're about to hire 10,000 more people. 151,000 people have applied for those 10,000 positions. So if it seems like the Democrats are getting violent, it's because they are. They'll do anything to keep these voters. I'm sorry, future voters that they plan to amnesty at the first opportunity, if they could just keep them here. Every other fight, every bit of violence that you're seeing is related to that. It's why Democrats spew the words fascist, Nazi, Gestapo over and over and over again. The word that was inscribed on the bullet that killed Charlie Kirk. The Democrats called Trump a fascist to get their own looned out voters to rise up, particularly against his ICE forces, his deportation forces. It's all about keeping the voters here. We saw that manifest this week in Insane Thing number 6, a left-wing lunatic opening fire indiscriminately on an ICE van at an ICE facility from a roof. His Facebook page, which he deleted before the shooting, was littered with communist symbols and Antifa symbols. He used the word comrades to address his followers. And he found his victims, who he'd been stalking, ICE agents or Gestapo fascists, if the left is to be believed, on the app that the mainstream media promoted for just that reason.
The shooter used the ICE tracking apps. Anyone who creates or distributes these apps that is designed to spot, track, and locate ICE officers are well aware of the dangers that they are exposing to law enforcement. It's a casting call to invite bad actors to attack law enforcement officers. It's no different than giving a hitman the location of their intended target, and this is exactly what we saw happen in Dallas.
Yeah, which is precisely why CNN publicized its existence and interviewed its creator.
I wanted to do something to fight back.
Joshua Aaron developed IceBlock. It's a free, crowdsourced app that alerts users when immigration and customs enforcement agents are spotted within a 5-mile radius of their location. He sees parallels between the Trump administration's immigration crackdown and Nazi Germany.
The shooter used the app exactly as the CNN newsroom intended him to. He might not have hit the targets they'd hoped for. He didn't aim so well and ended up hitting illegal immigrants. But the aim was to instill terror in ICE officers. Anything to hold on to the replacement voters. Because, folks, Democrats are totally out of power right now. But they know they can rule again with an iron fist if they can hang on to these voters long enough until the next time they get in power and can get amnesty through. This is why the mainstream media is pretty much round the clock dedicated to the fake news to drive their lunatics to pick up a gun. J.D. Vance had the best take on that this week.
Look in the mirror and stop this craziness, or you're going to get somebody killed. In fact, I think a lot of them already have gotten somebody killed, namely my friend Charlie Kirk and a number of other folks as well. If you look at, it's not just the Democrats, Laura, the media is participating in this. I saw a story on NBC News just a couple of days ago, right before the ICE shooting in Dallas, and they were effectively accusing ICE of mistreating a 5-year-old child. Now, it turned out that story was completely fake, but if you read that headline and you were a crazy person, I could see how that could incite you to violence. So I think in a lot of ways, the Democrats and the media, because they so hate the idea of a real border, are engaging in a kind of blood libel against ICE agents. They're accusing them of engaging in crimes. They're accusing them of being part of the Gestapo. They're actually inciting violence against our law enforcement. They know exactly what they're doing, and now it's time to stop. Now,
about that fake NBC News story that J.D. Vance mentioned, there's something really significant about this. The story, as NBC News told it, was that ICE agents kidnapped, essentially, captured, whatever, a 5-year-old autistic girl to use her as bait to pressure her illegal immigrant father into surrendering in Massachusetts. The story alleged that ICE agents grabbed a little girl outside her Massachusetts home in a cruel bid to pressure her father, Edward Hip Mejia, into surrendering. But that's not what happened at all. He was actually involved in a high-speed chase. She was in the car. He abandoned the car and her to run from the police. Not exactly a surprising move, given his criminal rap sheet, which includes previous arrests for domestic abuse, strangulation, and vandalizing property, and now abandonment of a child. But NBC News ran the picture of the 5-year-old girl on her knees by the car with a large ICE agent towering over her and left those key details out. They must have been exuberant in the newsroom. They had a whole new hoax. But this hoax wasn't going to end like their other hoaxes. Remember the Haitian migrant whipping story? That one lived for well over a year, even though the Department of Homeland Security immediately knew no Haitian migrants had been whipped. The Biden administration hung the agents out to dry, and the media ran with it. Why? Because Elon Musk didn't own Twitter then. Facebook was still allowing the FBI to censor, and the mainstream media and Joe Biden still had a total lock on the news. Remember that one? It went for almost 18 months. This one, in the new media environment, lasted 48 hours before NBC News was so brutalized, trending in the top four trends again and again and again for the fake aspects of this story. It broke on Tuesday. By Friday, they were forced to retract it. This is a whole new world, folks. We've never lived in before, and it's going to change everything.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Insane thing number five, James Comey indicted. Folks, pause for a minute and appreciate the level of the miracle here. Again, at the beginning of last year, Donald Trump was facing 75 years in prison across five cases. Nobody escapes that. That he's president right now and it's James Comey facing prison is nothing less than a miracle. Comey is facing charges for perjury before Congress, which he absolutely did. In fact, in other places, he actually brags about leaking classified material, and others who helped him do it are on the record about that. So the government's going to have a decent perjury case here, especially since his deputy, Andrew McCabe, has already testified under oath that Comey directed him to leak classified material to smear Donald Trump, especially given that that classified material, the leaking of it, is a felony that FBI top ranking brass commits so casually that people forget to even point out that it's a crime when they're reporting on it. If you noticed, the media is mainly focusing on the perjury charge. That's because it's the weakest and hardest to prove of the two. But there's another set of charges for obstructing Congress. We don't have all the details of that yet, but investigative reporter at Real Clear Politics, Paul Sperry, believes that that is going to refer to a referral the CIA sent Comey in 2016 about the Clinton plan to frame Trump as a Russian agent. If Sperry's right and that's the direction they're going, that is the thread I've wanted pulled for years. Because the Russia collusion case, it's confusing. There's a lot of weird, shady characters all over the globe. And you know what? To understand it, you can forget them all and focus on one simple, simple fact you can share with all your liberal family members and friends. And that's this. In the summer of 2016, before there ever was an election, CIA Director John Brennan went to talk to Barack Obama and Joe Biden and told them that Hillary Clinton had made up the Russia collusion hoax, that she planned to frame Trump with it, that it wasn't real, but that the Russians had caught wind of it, and they were really, really pissed. Well, the CIA then turned around and briefed, guess who? Yeah, the FBI, James Comey, in writing. They did this by September of 2016, again, well before the election. In other words, before any of the dozens of congressional hearings that James Comey sat in and pretended that Russia collusion hoax was real, he was getting to the bottom of it, and we needed to be very serious about doing that, he was informed that Hillary had actually created the hoax. So every congressional testimony that he ever did, every television interview he ever did for 2 years was a total lie. He knew the whole time it was fake. By the way, keep in mind, he also would have known, there's no way he didn't, that Hillary committed not one, but her campaign anyway, two crimes to create the Russia collusion hoax. On multiple occasions, Congress, because remember, they were doing their own investigations, subpoenaed Russia collusion documents. James Comey withheld the most critical ones, the ones showing it was Hillary the whole time. In the process, totally obstructing the congressional investigation with total lies. Folks, never forget how bad it got. At one point, Newsbusters, which monitors the mainstream media, reported that on average, mainstream media telecasts every night carried 60% of their content as Russia collusion news. Keep in mind, all of it was fake. Then remember this, in the last 3 months, the bombshells that have come out of the FBI. Most especially, remember all those supposed Russian hackings that we were told about by the FBI, Department of Homeland Security, that had supposedly come from Russians? Yeah, those were actually contractors tied to Hillary Clinton's campaign. Russia never hacked anything. But the consequences were very real. Barack Obama would put troops and tanks on Russia's border in retaliation for the interference, supposedly, in our election. And then Congress would crush Russia's economy in retaliation for the interference in our election. And also, by the way, for the cyber attacks, quote unquote, that we now know came from Hillary Clinton's circle and were constructed to look like internet traffic from Russia, including the Alpha Bank hoax, but also the Russian cyber attack hoaxes. You know, where we were told Russia was hacking election infrastructure? Yeah, fake. Hillary did that too. But the consequences for Russia were very real. If you want to understand why Vladimir Putin is terrified of us, if you want to understand why he fights like hell, like he's fighting for his last breath, watch, think about what we've done to him. The Senate voted 98-2 and the House voted 419-3 in favor of crippling the Russian economy with sanctions in July 2017. Sanctions that particularly hamstrung the Russian energy sectors. Sanctions in retaliation for the election interference and the cyber attacks that Hillary had faked. We didn't know it at the time, but Barack Obama's militarization of the Russian border, which we only understood to include tanks and troops at the time, was expanded in secret to include six CIA bases right on their border. The New York Times would later report that they were there, but they were a secret up till last year. This act of war on our part is why Russia feels justified invading Ukraine and taking large swaths of it along the Russian border as a buffer zone to protect themselves from the craziest people on earth, our lunatic deep state. The consequences are very real. A million people, maybe more, are dead in that conflict. And it's still ongoing. This week, Lavrov announced that after the exchange of, folks, we've flown a bunch of drones into Russia and blown up a whole lot of stuff under the guise of NATO, including a children's school for disabled kids. We blew up the pipeline to Hungary. That's all us, folks. I mean, yeah, technically it's NATO doing it. It's not Ukraine. They don't have any capabilities. But that's our hardware with our targeting using our satellites, our drone know-how, all of it run by our generals out of a headquarters in Badenburg, Germany. And Putin knows it. So what we've seen in recent weeks is NATO really escalating those bombings after that meeting between Trump and Putin where it looked like we might get peace. And Putin always, always retaliates. But the West has never told about our bombings in Russia. And so Putin has rightly concluded that Trump and NATO aren't serious because they keep bombing him. And I don't know how much of what NATO does that Trump actually gets good briefing on. I don't know. Whatever the case, Comey's lies have put us on the precipice of war. And this week, Lavrov announced, keep your eyes on this, folks, for the first time, that Russia was officially at war, not just with Ukraine, but with the EU and NATO. Of course, NATO is us. Bottom line, Comey's lies had consequences, which could still include thermonuclear war.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Insane thing number four, FBI bombshell. They lied. They lied bigly about their infiltration of the crowd on January 6th. There's only one reason they do that. I'll get to that in a minute. For those keeping track of the FBI's January 6th lies at home, it started with this. Agents? What agents? There weren't any agents in the crowd on January 6th. Then, well, maybe a few. Then, okay, around 24. And now, actually, almost 300. It's a staggering number. Almost 300 plainclothes officers? What, pray tell, were they doing? We only know this, folks, because FBI whistleblowers inside the FBI who knew where the report on this was, the one they've been hiding, including from the inspector general, got it to Kash Patel. Yeah, and yet another sign, he's not really running the agency. And to even get basic information, he has to depend on whistleblowers. He can't just go look it up or it would have been done the first month. There's so much potential perjury here, folks, I can't even keep track. Perjury, of course, being a felony. Here's the problem. The inspector general who researched this, by law, you have to turn over the information these inspectors general, the federal government, ask you for, and you cannot lie to them or it's a felony. But the FBI did. Never turning this report over or disclosing that any of these agents were apparently embedded in the crowd on January 6th or the monstrous number. So there's, I mean, folks, there are going to be years of charges here on this. And I'll never forget an interview I did with my friend Presley Stutz. On the day of January 6th, he was live there on the ground. He called into my show. And the only thing he wanted to tell me about is how the feds were arriving in buses and vans, how they were all dressed the same. And he would describe them. He said a lot of them were wearing black block. And he said what was really weird about it is they had the whole area cordoned off. So you couldn't just drive your car up. You had to walk from over 20 minutes away if you even wanted to get on the lawn. That's how roped off it was. Except for these bands and buses full of men dressed remarkably alike. And he flat out told me on that day, on January 6th, these are the feds. He said they're dressed like Antifa. They keep getting off the buses. I said, Presley, how do you know they're feds? He said, you can just tell looking at them. You can tell by the way they're dressed. It's fake. They're feds. Of course, that doesn't prove it. But this does. So here's Christopher Wray, director of the FBI, lying about that under oath.
Then those who were there in an undercover capacity on January 6th, how many were there?
I'm not sure that I can give you that number as I sit here. I'm not sure there were undercover agents on scene.
I find that kind of a remarkable statement, Director. At this point, you don't know whether there were undercover federal agents, FBI agents in the crowd or in the Capitol on January 6th.
I say that because I want to be very careful. There have been a number of court filings related to some of these topics, and I want to make sure that I stick within what's in...
I understand that, but I thought I heard you say you didn't know whether there were FBI agents or informants or human sources in the Capitol or in the vicinity on January 6th. Did I misunderstand you? I thought that's what you said.
Well, I referred very specifically to undercover agents.
Yeah. And so are you acknowledging then there were undercover agents?
As I sit here right now, I do not believe there were undercover agents on scene.
That was in 2023. And it answers so many questions. Why would you lie about this? Why wouldn't you just fess up to it? Yeah, we were trying to keep America safe. I just wanted to make sure everything went down fine. We heard there'd be a protest. Why would you lie about it? For the same reason that Kevin McCarthy, the speaker, promised us to release all the videotape of that day, we still never seen it. You know what I'm getting at, right? I mean, it's pretty obvious. There's only one reason you'd hide this. You'd go to such lengths to hide this. You'd risk perjury to hide this. And you know what it is? We're going to find it out eventually. The FBI agents, assets, whatever they were the most violent in the crowd. That's what we're going to learn. They were the ones who smashed windows. They were the ones who led the Fed's erection. That's coming. Why else would you lie about the number of officers? By the way, if you listen to Christopher Wray in that clip, notice he denied undercover officers were in the crowd. He didn't say anything about plainclothes officers, which is how they're described in the report that Kash Patel got a hold of. Again, folks, why would you lie about this to Congress, but then also to the Inspector General? And also, folks, Congress requested all of this information. The FBI withheld this report. There's so many prosecutable offenses here. In other words, you wouldn't turn this over because there's something much worse in it, in the information that these feds were there. Let me tell you what's going to happen now. It's actually already happening. I'm looking at it on X. The reason you couldn't have this out, because the January 6th videos are now trending on X right now. I'm looking at it. People, internet sleuths, are going through all those old videos trying to pick out the feds. They'll get them. Wait till the end of the weekend. I'm betting by next week's podcast, I'll have something on it for you. They're going to find them. And I'm in the crowd. And I'm guaranteeing you they're going to find the drop-offs that Presley Stutz told me about on January 6th before we even knew there'd be violence. He said that, you know, the Antifa black blocs, that's who's dropping them off. It's the feds. We are going to be able to trace them on video from the drop-off buses and vans all of the way to the violence. This is devastating. That's why they lied about it. Folks, there's no other reason you'd lie about that. And folks, this would also explain why we still haven't seen all the hours of video, despite Speaker Kevin Johnson promising to release it all. What's on it? We may never know. But it may be enough just to watch what people recorded on their cell phones and trace their steps. Folks, this isn't over. Insane thing number three, Jimmy Kimmel, y'all. Yeah, and what we're supposed to believe was the greatest free speech rights atrocity since the founding of the Republic, Jimmy Kimmel actually missed a few nights of his show. But ironically, thanks to left-wing violence, it was Charlie Kirk that got canceled again. Did you catch what happened here? A liberal lunatic angry about the cancellation, temporarily, of Jimmy Kimmel opened fire through the glass into the newsroom of ABC 10 near downtown Sacramento. That was on Friday, but it engendered such terror in executives that 9 minutes before Charlie Kirk, there's a tribute to him, remember, that was supposed to air instead of Kimmel's show, was supposed to hit the air, they pulled it in fear. Well, because of the shooting, but also because of the death threats they were receiving. And they aired Family Feud instead. Well, the insanity continued into the beginning of the week. The guy's name was Annabel Hernandez Santana, 64 years old. And after they searched through his vehicle, they found a kill list that included, and it was very specifically spelled out as a kill list, Donald Trump, Dan Bongino, and of course, FBI Director Kash Patel. But this is California, so that ain't no big thing. They released him on bail less than 24 hours later, despite the kill list. So he won. And the Charlie Kirk tribute only aired on YouTube. Kimmel would notch a total win. Sinclair and Nexstar affiliates are still, in some cases, refusing to air his show. The outlines of this atrocity are this. A guy by the name of Brendan Carr, who heads the FCC, went on a podcast and said some yap, yap, yap about how they should lose their license. The thing is, the guy doesn't have the power to take their license. And even if he tried, it'd be a long legal battle that would take years and that the FCC would ultimately lose. Bottom line, it's not happening. But the left pretended that it was because of the terror of that, that ultimately Jimmy Kimmel was canceled. It didn't matter that Nexstar sent its spokesperson out to explain to these idiots that no, they'd actually pulled the show because of the offensive comments that he had made about Charlie Kirk's shooter being actually MAGA, a total lie. And he knew it at the time. There's no way he didn't. It was widespread news. He just wanted a lie. Anyway,
Yeah. So Nexstar itself put out a statement saying, no, it had nothing to do with Brennan Carr, the comments, the federal government. We made the decision to suspend him. This, we're told, no joke, the greatest free speech atrocity since the founding. How do I know? Because chief CNN anchor Fake Tapper told me. He actually said this week.
All right, Jimmy Kimmel, he's a friend of both of ours. Yeah. You know him, I know him. We know he's a good person. But what was your original take on how this all went down starting last week?
I mean, I thought it was pretty much the most direct infringement by the government on free speech that I've seen in my lifetime.
Yeah. You have a-
that is the single most outrageous thing I've heard all week. And that's saying something. To say something so ignorant or, quite frankly, evil, because it really lets the Biden administration censorship off the hook, you'd have had to miss the entire, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, Joe Rogan interview where he said that the Biden administration would call him screaming and threaten them with investigations if they didn't censor true things. You'd have to miss the entirety of the Twitter files where the FBI functioned as a belly button inside Twitter, canceling accounts for more than two dozen entities, including the DNC and the NAACP, and also Adam Schiff, whenever investigative reporters like Scott Perry were on to him, he'd just have their accounts simply taken away. Somehow Fake Tapper missed all this. Well, no, he didn't. He knew. He's just lying. It's what they do. But the hilarious part about it is that it wasn't even 12 hours after Fake Tapper said that Google, which owns YouTube, came out and admitted, yeah, the Biden administration forced us to censor too, even when the stuff we were censoring was kind of true. In other words, the exact same story that Facebook told. This isn't wink, wink, nod, nod, inferred sort of censorship like the Brendan Carr story I just told you with Jimmy Kimmel. No, this is we go in and we take your social media account, something Jimmy Kimmel's never experienced. In fact, he had all-time highs in his hits and views for his videos after he was taken off the air. Liberals simply don't know what actual cancellation is like, actual censorship, because they've never experienced it. So it was hilarious when it wasn't even 12 hours after Fake Tapper said that Google made the admission that they, too, were censored by the Biden administration. Oops. Which leads us to insane thing number two. The fact that Google and YouTube said they are going to join Facebook, i.e. Meta, and X in not complying with the free speech dictates, that is censorship, no free speech, of the EU or the UK, which is demanding the censorship of Europeans, but also Americans, in order as the price for these social media entities to be in these countries. YouTube was complying before. We know that because Elon Musk made an announcement that the Euroweenies, who run the EU, had contacted him and said, hey, listen, why don't you go ahead and censor for us and we just won't tell anyone. You can keep your street rep and everybody will be happy. Well, Elon Musk told them, you know, where they could go. And he let us know that all the others had agreed to censor for the EU and the UK. Now, how serious YouTube and Google are, we don't know. But the fact that they said they're not gonna do this is huge. And this is what led to insane thing number one. It was the number one trending article. Wildly, folks, both in the U.S. this morning on the app we pay a lot of money for is a company called Topic Pulse, so we can actually see by hits, clicks, shares, likes, what the biggest news story you're interested in is in the country and also in the world. And it was the same story. And I was shocked by that this hit such a nerve. It did with me. But when it happens with other people, too, you know something big's going on. And it's this story in the UK Daily Mail headline. Every adult in Britain will need a government-issued ID card despite backlash at Starmer's plan for a dystopian nightmare. That is actually the words used, dystopian nightmare, to describe this situation by the UK Daily Mail, the largest newspaper on earth. By clicks. Try to comprehend the horror of this. They announced, this is the, you know, essentially Socialist Labor Party, announced that in order to rent a home, buy a car, or get a job, every British adult will need to have a digital ID or they'll be locked out. And the demos released by the party are like something out of a horror movie. Listen to what it actually says. And it shows a picture of a man, and he's got the Brit card is what they're calling it. And it says right to work. And then his rating is permanent, and it has a check. And then it says right to rent. And then it says permanent, and it has a check. In other words, you don't have the right to do these things if you don't have a digital ID. Rebecca Vincent of Big Brother Watch in the UK said we're sleepwalking into a dystopian nightmare where the entire population will be forced through myriad digital checkpoints to go about our everyday lives. You bet they are. Now, here's what's really interesting. Why now? This announcement has come suddenly and is a shock to the British people. Yeah, in the past, Keir Starmer, the Prime Minister, again with the Socialist Labour Party, has mentioned in passing getting one of these. But this was very sudden, the rollout. Like, what could possibly have motivated it? And so suddenly this week, well, you know what it was? It was YouTube and Google saying they're no longer going to cooperate with the EU or the UK for speech censorship. Folks, in the UK alone, they've done 3,000 raids in the last couple of months after launching this state police force. And it's a national police force, and they go out only after internet crime. You got to understand, if you criticize migrants or illegal immigrants or talk about the crimes they commit, even if you are completely accurate, it doesn't matter. It violates the law. It causes upset and harm, and they will come to your house. You will face trial. But they've been relying on these companies turning the people over. Yes, they get reports all the time from other people online, but in order to locate the person, they need the company's help. That's the emergency. That's why this came out of the clear blue, because YouTube, Google is no longer cooperating. They're SOL. They've only got one way to authenticate, one way to figure out who these people are. They're going to have to go to digital IDs, which, by the way, this is terrifying. They're saying we'll hook up to one big national database. And the hilarious part, the government's claiming they need this to combat illegal immigration. No, all they need to do is secure their island borders. They let these people in just like the Democrats do. They let their boats in when they roll up to the UK. They don't need this at all to stop illegal immigration. Donald Trump's proven that. So why are they doing it? They're doing it because increasingly, if you've got Facebook, you've got Google, you've got YouTube, now that would include Instagram and also X saying, we're not turning these people over to you anymore. Well, they're going to have to go digital ID. Now, here's what's interesting. They're saying you need to have one of these digital IDs in order, like I said, to get a job, get a car, buy a house, all of that stuff. Not on the list is that you need to have the digital ID to use the internet. And of course, they're not going to say that, folks. They're going to wait until all of these Brits have these cards, and then they're going to drop that bomb. How do you know that's coming? Because Nikki Haley, former governor of South Carolina, told us so. Remember when she had breakfast with Larry Fink of the World Economic Forum and BlackRock? And he announced that he was going to be fundraising for her crooked campaign. And she came out like just with her hair on fire, did two interviews. She was asked that day, hey, what is the first thing you're going to do as president if you're elected? Because remember, she was running for president. She said, oh, the first thing I do is digital ID. Nobody's getting on the internet unless we know who you are. And you're not going to be anonymous, which is hilarious since her real name isn't actually Nikki. You're going to have to use your real name. Folks, you got to understand this. Microsoft/Bill Gates have already built the world system for this to run on so that it'll run seamlessly between countries. So that system already exists. You just have to load the digital IDs onto it. That's exactly how this is going to go. They're going to decree it. Folks are going to have to get it. And the second they got you, they are going to say you need to have this digital ID in order to get online, which is exactly the way that Nikki Haley explained it would work. It's also exactly the way it works in China. They have digital ID. You have to use it as a, quote, key, unquote, to get online before you can access any of the state-run social media or post anything. They know who everybody is. Absolutely. These poor, poor British people. Folks, they're little more than slaves if this goes through. I mean, honestly, what's the difference between that and living in the former Soviet Union? They're already doing thousands of speech and censorship raids. Honestly, I think the only thing at this point is people aren't disappearing in the middle of the night yet. But in these authoritarian regimes, that part doesn't usually start to occur until people are totally censored, because you can't have your family online talking about the fact that you've been kidnapped by the party. But folks, everything else, pure Soviet Union. Which gets me to one final point. Donald Trump this week talking bullishly as if, I don't know, he's going to defend Ukraine or something. I got to ask a question. Why would we defend Europe at this point? I mean, if they're indistinguishable from Russia. And folks, the Russian government isn't trying to censor me as an American. The EU and UK governments are. I don't think they're part of the Western world anymore. I mean, they certainly don't share identifiable Western values. What are we protecting them for exactly? So that they can remain strong enough in the next Democrat regime to, what, extradite me, you, all of us for trial on speech violations? I mean, folks, under the Biden regime, I want to remind you, the top prosecutor in the UK asserted that he had the right to extradite people in America to the UK for speech trials for things that they said online. And remember the terror of that. There was no pushback at all from Joe Biden. And even more terrifying, no pushback from the then leaders of the Republican Party, Mike Johnson and Mitch McConnell, because, of course, Trump was out of office. So, I mean, we're talking about what we're going to go fight, die, send equipment. I don't know what Trump has in mind to defend the UK and the EU so that a few years from now in the next Democrat regime, it'll be, what, intact and ready for the speech trials of Americans? I'm not following the thread. I'm trying to understand, and I don't understand. But I'll tell you this, it's the most insane thing this week. Have a great weekend.
With Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.